Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Hello and welcome to The Match Ball for the West Brom away game. I'm Dan Moylan, with me Michael Normanton.
Hello.
And Moscow White, Daniel Chapman.
Hello.
And we're also supported by Levi Solicitors. Get 10% off your legal fees. Mention us lot when you inquire. And they'll knock 10% off. Go to levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. Well, that was all right then, boys, wasn't it?
Yeah, overall.
I knew we were better than them.
Resembled a normal football match as well, didn't it? After the one the other day. This was recognisable. There were normal patterns of play in it. We conceded from a set piece, obviously.
Which is normal.
And then we were the better team.
But it does feel like we've kind of reset a little bit now, got that wobble out of our system, maybe a little bit from over Christmas. And we've sort of seen out the Christmas period, really, now.
It was just Mad Friday, wasn't it? Only it wasn't a Friday. It's a different day. But it's just a mad day. You get them at Christmas. Everybody just goes nuts.
What, the Birmingham one?
Yeah. And this was just, yeah, we're going to be, maybe this is the template for Leeds in the 2020s. It's just going to be a normal, well-functioning football team that draws.
Well, it all went a bit bonkers, didn't it, over Christmas? I think that's the thing that I'm angling towards. Like when you start with that Cardiff game,
yeah,
and we were kind of dead normal and very Leedsy and in control. New Leeds, Bielsa Leeds.
Yeah.
Until they started scoring, and it's kind of gone a bit off the rails since then, but it feels like we've pulled it back on now.
Yeah, and results have been kind to us over this period, because had someone below us just continuously won over this period, the gap might be 3 points or 4 points by now, but everyone else is shit.
Well, you look at West Brom, one win in six.
Yeah, and Sheffield Wednesday lost again today, Preston lost again. Johnny Woodgate was right, wasn't he, about that table?
Was lying.
It was lying.
The form team and Millwall.
Yeah, they're in the playoffs. I don't know what they're doing in there.
I mean, it would really take the edge off going up if Millwall came with us. Part of the whole point of promotion is to get away from wankers like this.
So let's talk about today then. And, I should want to talk about Nketiah first, because that's the story that's just broken at full time. It's been confirmed, going back to Arsenal, recalled by them.
Yeah, he did the right thing to be shit in that first half. So we, when this happened, we could all go, ah, well.
Yeah, don't matter.
It did feel like almost that there was a kind of a definitive ruling there, because there has been an argument. Because there's people on Twitter, as we kind of know, everything goes black and white. It's like, well, there's one in the eye for everybody who said he should have played earlier in the season. When actually, that was a legitimate argument, because Bamford was out of form and missing chances. Mm. Now, we've seen Bamford really come into his own more recently. But today it felt definitive.
Yeah, Bamford's in form and showed how he is important to the way we play. It wasn't obvious when he was in the team and not scoring. And then I think it dawned on me that he was doing a lot of other stuff. And his value became more. And then Nketiah just, there was a moment in the first half when, was it Ayling played a really good ball to him, through about four lines and got him in space in their half. He just got bullied off the ball, whereas Bamford keeps control of that. And he's not been up to it. And I think we talked a lot about Nketiah on the main podcast, and I was thinking about it again, looking at this thing of him not fitting into the system and that being a mistake. Maybe it's his fault. Maybe he's had all the expectation. We went to Arsenal with the expectation this player can fit into our system, we'll get loads of game time because we'll train him to do it. And then Nketiah is the one who has not been up to it. Why can't he do Bamford's job?
Because he's not mature enough yet as a player. I think that's what I've taken out of this. I mean, we spoke on the main podcast saying maybe with the aid of hindsight, and it is with the aid of hindsight, because we all said it was a great move at the start of the season, that perhaps he's the wrong player at the wrong time.
Yeah.
It doesn't quite have, you know, if you put like a more mature, maybe even someone like, you know, I know Billy Sharp's name has been touted, but someone like Billy Sharp into that side, just to come on, experienced head, knows exactly what he's doing, you know, will cope with the pressure just fine.
Because he'll cope with the diet.
He knows the club will never cope with the diet. But, you know, that type of player, a seasoned pro, is what I'm thinking, rather than a young lad who's trying to cut through, get game time and prove himself. A promotion chase doesn't really lend itself to blooding young players, does it?
Well, Ben White.
Somebody else's young players, though, who are
Ben
not...
White.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, but fair point.
I think what you're saying is probably correct, but back in that meeting room at Arsenal, it's not just us who said this would work. Arsenal must have looked at whatever we were offering and thought, oh yeah, that sounds good. Eddie can play that style for you. Off your pop, make him do it. And yeah, I think part of it, who's failed? Him? You know, I'm sure we haven't just stuck him on the pitch and said, and well, we know for a fact that Bielsa will have instructed him to within an inch of his life on how to do the work he wants. And we'll have also felt that he would have been capable of being adapted into our system, but can't do it. I don't think he's any good. I think he'll probably be playing in non-league in a couple of seasons.
But this season he'll be playing for Bristol, possibly. But who knows?
Well, they got hammered, didn't they, today?
We're never going to hear the end of it with Lee Johnson, are we? I'm like the unveiling of the press conference where he's like, well, should have come here in the first place, shouldn't he, and all that. And he'll probably make a big point.
We always felt...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every time he puts him in the team, he'll say, yeah, I played him. Got a game, didn't he?
Anyway, at the end of the day, we should not really give up much more time to it because he's not our problem anymore. It was good to have him and we're grateful for his contribution and his goals, which he scored some vital ones. But I think today has proved definitively Bamford's a man for up front. Hopefully we can now supplement it with somebody else who can play as well if he's, you know, injured or has to come off or tired or whatever it might be.
I mean, Bamford's going straight to hospital.
I mean, surely we've got... Tyler Roberts was a striker once and he's constantly available, as we know.
That's what I mean. Bamford's going to do some kind of Dave Besson thing, like smashing his foot on a jar of mayonnaise or something like that, and we'll never see him again. He'll probably do it on February the 1st.
Well, let's talk about his contribution tonight then, because this is why we are here, match ball and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Good contribution tonight. I thought he really came on and made the difference. It was quite evident, wasn't it?
Yeah, the first thing he did was he came on and he held it up sort of in the right channel. Just had put his foot on it for a bit, waited for players to move around him, and just thought, yeah. And Nketiah didn't do that once in the first half, and instantly it was set up for him. I don't know if it was the wrong game for Nketiah, because they've got big centre-backs, and it felt like there was not really any space in behind them. They were content to sit fairly deep. So maybe it was just the wrong game for him, but yeah, it was. And he scored, obviously, a fantastic header, which went straight in the goal.
Yes. Hey, well-directed.
As we mentioned on the main podcast, number 162, we gave a massive nod to own goals and deflections, both of which have been putting in a real shift for us this season.
There was a very good corridor of uncertainty as well when it went off one defender and pinged onto another and went over the bar. Looked like the corridor of uncertainty was going to deflect into an own goal.
I think I made a note of that, of OG goes close again. it was good effort by them, but not
OG.
Not
OG is now our second top scorer, isn't it? Which is hilarious.
That's fine. They can be top scorer for all I care if we go up.
So let's rewind when the crowd say Bo Selecta and go back to the very start of that. And when it kicked off and within...
Can we not?
Well, we have to, because that's what we're here for. Within a minute and a half, were you immediately thinking, oh, here we go again?
I mean, there's an argument to say that if Bamford's on the pitch, this goal doesn't get scored because we have someone else who's big in the box who might have actually cleared this bloody thing rather than just...
the ball.
Allowing them to nod it about about the six-yard box until someone could eventually hook it in. I mean, during this game, there were points in it I thought maybe Kiko was guilty. More guilty than I thought he was a few weeks ago, for example.
Right.
Because a few weeks ago, I thought, he probably didn't do that thing, did he? Whereas now...
You'd like him to get away with it, whereas now...
Whereas now I'm thinking, I think probably he did.
No ban is long enough for him.
He was getting booed tonight, wasn't it, as well? Which was unusual. It's because of...
Jonathan Lico's a West Brom player with a broken leg.
He's injured as well. Yeah. Ah. I mean, Kiko didn't do that, in fairness. Let's not... Or did he?
I mean,
I think what we should do is move on.
Make lots of wild accusations just to get him out of the team. But then, does Meslier make those saves in the second half, or even the one in the first half, that one-on-one, which was a really good save.
I mean, that's the thing, he's quite an enigma in that respect, isn't he, Kiko, in that he does some brilliant keeper things, but the area of weakness in his game is that kind of commanding his area when it's very busy.
Well, he even did some good corner takes, and the one that he punched safely backwards over the bar, even that was fine.
He is in credit this season overall.
Yeah, it was just that first one. Yeah, don't just punch it straight up in the air. But again, you're right, it's not only him. Why didn't our tall commanding Liam Cooper or Eddie Nketiah or whoever is available head the fucking thing? I thought
with Kiko in this, it was interesting to contrast him with Johnston in their net, who is probably better at basic English goalkeeper stuff, but every time he got the ball at his feet, absolutely shat himself, whereas Kiko threads passes between oncoming strikers and things.
Was it that sequence in the second half when they played those triangles out between the two attackers to fill it? I was like, bloody hell, fire.
It was amazing to watch. Yeah. And it's good play. And it is actually, if you can play football, it's a perfectly safe pass to play because you're basically trying to kick it through like a 20-yard gap. But I wouldn't trust Sam Johnston to do that because he was terrified of the football, whereas Kiko was like, yeah, not a bother. This is what I do. They pass it to Ramos there in centre-back. So, I don't know. Like you say, he gives and he takes away.
Yeah. But to be fair, I would say we had the lion's share of that game. Would you agree that a draw was a fair result? Probably on balance, we could have won it.
We should have won.
You think?
If that goal... Well, I suppose West Brom seemed to sit back, whether that's because they had the lead or whether that was their plan all along. It's hard to say. But yeah, I thought we were better than them and I thought we were good enough for a win if we hadn't just cocked up on that.
They probably had the better chances, but we were the better team.
We wasted some good chances though when Bamford should have squared it to click late on. Like that was, again, it's something that XG probably wouldn't represent because it doesn't represent how good a position Click would have been in had
he actually got to it.
The ball actually been passed to him. When Bamford shoots, which you know, strikers are prone to doing it, and you in some ways you can't blame him, but that was one. And then in the first half, there was one that came across the box for Nketiah, which if he'd have been about 6 inches taller, he'd have nodded in, I think, as well. So there were lots of nearly very good chances.
Yeah. That's what we've tended to do all season, though, is create sort of nearly very good chances rather than really...
I want to see that as a stat. Nearly very good chances. We are top.
Put it on a graph.
NVG.
there's sort of a weight of just piling on the pressure until the other team breaks. Like when we did start getting into the game, we would all those crosses from Helder Costa that weren't quite getting on the mark. Probably would have. I was thinking the other day, if NK is going back, Matt Smith. I'm not sure if he's part of of Millwall.
Which winger do you think we should have? Jordan Bataka, maybe get him back.
You're an idiot.
No, but Matt Smith can head anything into the goal. And I think it comes at him. Any height, he just puts a bit of his body on it.
Honestly,
it's over his head, he jumps.
We're not wasting any more time on this laboured Matt Smith joke.
I don't want to be associated with Matt Smith. And I don't want people saying the square ball think we should get Matt Smith in. These are the opinions of one man and one man only. He's a lunatic.
At Moscow White TSB, if you want to direct your abuse for him.
I genuinely think he would finish a lot of those crosses, but we were just putting them in and they were above Nketiah or above Alioski or just a little bit over here. But the good thing about them is that they just keep on coming. We get the ball out there and we put the cross in and eventually something happens. I'm just saying it would happen more often if Matt Smith who scored Millwall's third goal today? There, you see, proven goal scorer. Everyone wants a proven goal scorer in the Championship. There is one.
Sorry, everybody. Want to say two things. Number one, the balance of play, should we have won it, maybe nicked it. I think the silence of the crowd was quite indicative. They were very quiet and nervous in that second half. I think they knew which way that game was swinging.
Sour-pussed as well. They all had very sour faces.
And when the Leeds fans were singing, Sky very quickly got rid of it.
Birdsong over the top of it.
Yeah, a little bit of piped in canned laughter or something just came in over the top of us singing about Sky TV. Very harsh.
The other thing I was going to say was, on Costa himself, I thought there was some really good stuff that he did today. Some proper £15 million player.
I thought it was probably his best game.
That cut inside where he did about three players on that run in the second half, that was pure... hello.
Because I don't think either when Gibbs went off injured after about 15 minutes, I don't think he was injured. I think he just
didn't fancy it.
He just had the first 15 minutes of Costa running at him and thought, ooh,
Was it, you mean the Harry Kewell Champions League final injury?
That hamstring is just a little bit tight. I think it's probably best if I head off now. That's all right. Yeah. Probably be fine for the next game, but it just feels a little bit tight.
Oh yeah, the international call-up injury.
Yeah, exactly. Jackie Harrison with another assist.
Very good today. Very good.
Both wings covered.
Yeah, I think the thing with Costa is it feels like every game we're saying, that's his best game. Yeah, he's getting better and better. And Jackie, it's just, yeah, I have pure love for him at the moment. They're both playing really well. The final ball remains a bit of a problem, just because of its inaccuracy, but they're getting enough in there to make us productive anyway. We'll just let the other team put it in.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Right, left backs. Let's talk about left backs and Gianni Alioski being replaced by Barry Douglas. Did you not think we were a hell of a lot more solid when Douglas came on for Alioski, who kind of had one of his, brainless days in the soft play area type games today?
I enjoyed Alioski being, for the first time ever, I saw him being like an adult in the first half. He was trying to make eye contact with the linesman. And when he did, he just sort of shook his head in a really disappointed way. You've let me down.
There was also when the West Brom player asked if he could have the ball back so he could take a throw in, and Alioski just said no.
Walked off with it, didn't he?
Yeah, and the players can have that. No, I'm taking. Which is much better than, I mean, there was a couple of their players were kind of grabbing onto it and rolling over and all that stuff. Just hold on, just don't have a fight about it. Just say no. I'm wasting some time so that we can get in position, so you can't take it yet.
I did wonder when Douglas came on if there's an argument to say that he starts, and then if we need something to happen, Alioski comes on, because it's much more of a wild card entry as having Alioski on the pitch, whereas Douglas does left backy things. He passes it inside. He goes up the line, but he doesn't go everywhere in the same way as Alioski does.
And it frees up Harrison as well when you've got somebody sensible and human behind you.
Douglas has been, I think there's a danger of forgetting that when he has been in the team previously, he's generally felt like a bit of a letdown, because we paid a lot of money for him. He's possibly, you know, the best left back in the Championship and should be in the Premier League if Wolves had taken him. And it has all been a bit meh from him. So I do worry whenever I see Baz Dogg that he's not going to quite live up to the
he's one of these,
fashion sense.
One of those players, though, he's never quite ever got going at Leeds. It always feels like that. Like there's always a niggling injury and he's always coming back from an injury.
Do you think Gianni Alioski should wear Barry Douglas's clothes?
It would look very sort of 80s Eurovision, I think.
It would feel more appropriate.
I think they'd be a bit long in the leg for him as well.
Even the shorts. Yes. Yeah, he has. It's not been the best time for him. He said he had a hard time when he was out of the team last season. But I can't resist that. You know, he's not one of my particular favourites. He's no Jackie Harrison.
Got a nice left foot on him though. And if we were to sign a nice strapping lad to play up front, maybe with a little bit of French in him.
I've just looked it up actually. Right. Patrick Bamford this season, one goal every 191 minutes on the pitch. Matt Smith, one goal every 188. He is 3 minutes better than Pat Bamford. So if we want a like-for-like replacement who can come in, do the job, just saying.
What did you make of the halftime subs?
Yeah, I was quite pleased. Predictable, but good.
The Douglas one wasn't predictable.
I was vibing it as well.
Yeah, I was. Alioski was having a bit of a nightmare, I thought.
But that's never stopped Bielsa before. He just leaves it, just lets him get on with it.
But Bielsa likes control, doesn't he? He's all about control in matches, and it did feel like he was out of control down that left-hand side. He just didn't have that stamp of authority on it.
You can stop the sentence that he's out of control, really.
Yeah, true.
And it was good to see, like, if Douglas can come back and have the impact that he had today and the influence he had today and play well for the rest of the season, it means we actually have a left-back at left-back and a right-back at right-back.
And you can put Alioski, he can play the wings as well, and particularly late on if he comes on. He just causes havoc because he never bloody stops.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're bringing Alioski on, if you're chasing a game, you can say you're nominally playing left-back, but just go and do
if you want to go to
Alioski
the,
things.
Go on the right wing, that's fine.
Yeah, just head out on the pitch, wherever you fancy.
Try and follow the ball roughly, but I thought they made sense, and I thought it really swung the balance back in our favour. We could have won that, couldn't we, second half, I think.
We're a good team. That's what I took out of today. I think the Cardiff match and then whatever happened in Birmingham kind of changed the perception a little bit. But West Brom, I mean, they've got Gareth Barry on the bench and they're paying him like ridiculous amounts of money to sit on the bench, and the players that they have even starting in their team, you know, that Pereira is supposed to be, you know, the best playmaker in the championship, didn't do a right lot. Romain Sawyers, people say maybe we could have him in our midfield. Don't think he was any better than any of ours. And how Robson Kanu, I hate him because he wears 4 and he's a striker.
And that dive.
And I also hate him for the dive.
Which brings us, I guess, nicely on slightly earlier, but heroes and villains, he's got to be in for villainy because that was terrible. I'm all for a bit of shithousing and cheating, but, you know, only when we do it. Like when Luke Ayling does an Ayling foul, fine, but that was terrible.
They went down a fair number of times, I thought, quite softly. Mm. I mean, in fairness, the ref didn't give them a penalty when he probably could have done. So that was nice.
Yes.
But then again, he should have given the handball as well because that was a handball.
Yeah, I mean, the Klitsch one to cover it off, I think. The initial foul is probably on Klitsch, but then Klitsch gets bored of being fouled and just throws him, which is probably a bad idea.
It was stupid, but then again, you can see in the replays when Don Goodman's having a fucking coronary.
Yeah, I mean, he's to come.
But he's got hold of Klitsch's arm as well as Klitsch is throwing him down. They're both doing it. It's stupid to do it there, but when they're both doing it, and I thought the ref got that right, to be honest.
Yeah, and I think that Klitsch maybe has made the risky but balanced judgment of like the referee ain't going to give this because he's seen us both doing it. It's strange that the Don Goodman, the things he condemns as outrages against football and the things he just lets go, like that late tackle on Phillips where he got clipped in the face as well. So didn't barely got a murmur out of that, but Klitsch just knocking somebody over. Oh, terrible, terrible scenes here at the Hawthorns.
There was one where Ayling was kind of bursting through the middle. He got fouled. Well, I think he got half foul once, then taken down in quite a cynical way. Yeah. And Don Goodman was like, "That's not yellow for that." That is literally always a yellow card in every game of football you watch. That is a yellow card. It's a tackle from behind.
He clipped his heels, didn't he?
On a player that's running, that's breaking. That's always a yellow card. And Don Goodman was like, "Oh no, 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 no! You can't be giving out yellow cards for this."
And Bartley's when he came through the back of Bamford again, not the worst thing, but if you tackle somebody from behind like that, you're probably going to get booked.
That basically seems to be the benchmark, doesn't it? Now, yeah.
I'm when you think of Kyle Bartley at Leeds, how do you picture his face?
With a beard that looks real rather than stuck on.
Because, I think, does he hate colour in under his beard?
It looks like he's bought a plastic one from a joke shop and just pastes it in place before the game.
Because I remember him being really happy and smiley at Leeds as well. I remember him, his mum was on Twitter, she was really nice, he was smiling. Today, every time the camera was on him, he was just really cross. He was really annoyed at his life. You could see he was just going, every time it was on him, he was just pointing at other people going, "Fucking hell, why? Why are we doing this? What's wrong with me? Why is no one helping?"
He wanted to be playing for us, didn't he, with his mate Luke?
Yeah, I noticed at one, it was one free kick, they were marking each other. And I think Luke Ayling was trying to have a laugh with him about it, but Bartley was just, I think he's just too torn up inside about the fact that he has to wear ideal boilers on his chest when he could have the magnificent name of 32 Red.
It was a bit like, you know, when you see yourself, see a mate you've not seen for a while and you're like, I'm not sure he's all right, you know. He seems a bit... Is everything all right? Is everything all right with work?
I'm fine, mate. I'm fine, mate.
And the beard?
Yeah, it's fine. It's my beard.
Oh, okay. It's not iron filings.
No, I'm fine.
Okay,
no.
Okay, good.
I'm fine. I'm fine. Thanks for asking, but I am fine.
I think a bit of credit for Klitsch and Dallas as well, who were both very good. Klitsch, we've been saying the other day, is tired, and today he was not tired. He thought he was really good.
He just needs a nice kip, doesn't he? That's what sorts him out.
And Dallas, particular credit for the crossfield ball he did, where it was off a throw-in on the right-hand side, and he just took it on his chest, span, and like did a half volley across the pitch to Jack Harrison, and it made me go, ooh.
Yeah, especially as Jack Harrison killed it dead each time with his left foot, his wand of a left foot.
Yeah.
But no, I thought some really, really good stuff today, some really encouraging stuff. And to get back to doing those normal things, like we said, in a normal game that looked like the leads that we recognised from the first half of the season. And we've got the Christmas period out of the way now. I think that's the other important thing. And we're 9 points clear.
And this game out of the way as well. Because yeah. It's always been on the horizon. It's like that's the top of the table clash that I couldn't quite get into. The Slaven Bilic was really talking it up beforehand, saying that there could be no bigger occasion in football than this. And I was a bit like, well, you know, the worst that happens is we lose and we're still only 8 points clear. So there wasn't much. I suppose maybe West Brom asked about winning the title. Maybe that's what it means to them. And I didn't particularly, you know, West Brom aren't really the team we have to beat in this division. It's the other 22 that we have to be better than. So I wasn't too concerned, but you couldn't ignore the hype and the level of kind of attention from everybody on the game. So getting that kind of out the way without a disaster, without everyone just going like, oh, and that's kind of what I was getting at before. Like West Brom is supposed to be the fearsome best team in this division. And we've beaten them and drawn with them. I think both games we've looked as good, if not better than them. And we don't have the players they've got. Like, you know, you can't, we don't have, we've got Robbie Gotts on the bench. They've got Gareth Barry. And you can paint that as a criticism of our lack of squad building or Bielsa's lack of interest in squad building, or look at the disparity in parachute payments and all that stuff. But it's a fact that they have, on paper, probably a much better team better than them.
And when you put it like that, yeah, it does go to show just what a great job Bielsa's doing, and the players as well, to have brought them up to this level where they can do that against a team that's that expensively assembled. Very, very good.
Can we talk about Don Goodman again?
What do you need to get off your chest?
How's he in a job? I mean, I know we're like, as three men unqualified are sitting around talking about football,
making more sense than him.
But fuck me, he doesn't know anything, does he? Like it was lovely to get a break at half time and hear some people talking about football in a way that wasn't absolutely idiotic. Like Hasselbank, I don't agree with everything he said, but like I could at least understand what he was saying about things. But everything Goodman says is bollocks.
He kept calling everything soft. If that penalty had been given, it would have been soft.
The one where he stretches his arm out and dives to his left and palms it round the post.
Is it a penalty or not, though? That's the question. Not is it a soft penalty or a hard penalty?
It's not Brexit, is it?
It's not Brexit. Nor is it a penis. It's a penalty. And it's flaccid or otherwise, characteristics do not come into it. In the referee's mind, he's not waiting to if he gets like a rumbling in his loins. Oh, penalty!
I just felt like he minimised all the good stuff we were doing as well.
He hates us.
If West Brom got the ball off us, it was really good pressing or something. If we got the ball off them doing exactly the same thing, it's like, oh, West Brom have been sloppy in possession there. It's like it's the same thing that you've just witnessed a second before, and the way you've described it is entirely different. He shouldn't have a job. I know people say it's never nice to see anyone losing the job. Don Goodman should not have a job
He's genuinely not very good at it. I do wonder sometimes, because obviously he was in our youth system, wasn't he? And for anybody who doesn't know, didn't make it through our youth system, was released. And it came back to haunt us on a couple of occasions, particularly in that FA Cup game against Wolves. But you do wonder if maybe he's trying to overcompensate a bit much, and that's how it manifests itself. It's this kind of subconscious, just sort of, I don't want to be seen to be favouring Leeds because I'm from Leeds. And
yeah, people do question the, when we start going on about media bias against Leeds and all that kind of stuff, whether it's just paranoia. But we are the only team that Sky has special sound effects for. So, you know, you have to look at these facts sometimes and be like, well, yeah, they have done that. So that is more attention than they give to other teams. I mean, I've heard other teams singing Sky TV's fucking shit. I think it's caught on a bit, but they don't.
You have a tiny audiences, isn't it?
I've made a little Don Goodman note, actually. 85 minutes, they've allowed Leeds to dominate. Another way of saying that would be, Leeds have dominated. But no, they've allowed Leeds to dominate.
He's really riled you, hasn't he, today?
he's a prick. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Mm. That was the thing. I don't even think it's bias. He calls stuff wrong all the time. Like every decision that was given, he seemed to have something to say about it. And most of the time, the referee was actually...
I mean, that dive, the how Robson Kearney dive, he started off saying, oh, well, you can't tackle like that there. And then on the replay, he said, oh... I think he's maybe gone looking for that one, hasn't
gone
he?
Gone down a bit easy. You think?
And then you see the actual replay. He did come out, he said, that is a dive. But I think, you know, it was smacking him so hard in the face by that point that anything else would have been ridiculous.
And that's the problem, though, with digging yourself into that hole and feeling the need to fill every silence with a comment because you inevitably make yourself look stupid.
Shut up and let us enjoy the game. Tell us who's got the ball.
Back to basics.
Yeah.
In fact, don't have Don Goodman there. Just have the commentator.
I like Daniel Mann as a commentator, actually, the Sky
comms. Just leave him to it. Yeah. He's fine by himself.
Oh, we could go do it.
Yes, I'm sure that would go absolutely fine.
Give that a go. Oh, what's that? Oh, Daniel, what's that the Leeds fans are singing? Sky TV is what? Cut to break. Any other heroes and villains, then, besides those we've kind of skirted around there?
Bielsa and Bilic. Nice big hug at the end. Long conversation. I'm not sure what was being said. It looked from Bielsa's reaction, it seemed like Bilic was saying to him something like, you are an inspiration to me and I love you. And he's like, oh, no, you are an inspiration. That kind of thing that could have gone on all night.
Football was the winner there, I think.
It was nice.
Contrast it. I was just watching a video of Lee Johnson trying to start a fight at the end of their game, which is hysterical because I'm not entirely sure how big he is, but he might be unlucky in the group of people that he's around, but he's like a foot smaller than everybody else and he's trying to start a fight.
Yeah,
it's brilliant.
Looks like he should be stood on a milk crate or something, doesn't he, just to even things out.
It's like it's the freak show. Someone's riled him and he's gone out into the crowd causing trouble.
And I've not seen, has anybody seen yet this video of Bielsa correcting his translator?
Not yet.
In English, apparently you just burst into English tone that says, like, you're translating this wrong, and then just says what he wanted saying in English, which is great. I hope he spends the rest of the season just having him there, but not using him.
Oh, what's worth saying now, just a quick update on this. Pontus Janssen has, you know, Pontus likes a little bit of needle.
Mm-hmm.
He has quote tweeted the embarrassing behaviour from Johnson tweet that's showing this video on Twitter. And he's saying, ha 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 ha, if people just knew.
Lee Johnson's a prick.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's what Pontus is probably getting at there, is that if people just knew Lee Johnson's a prick, I know. We all know. Everybody knows. Eddie Nketiah is about to find out, much to his cost. That's why he'll be a non-league footballer in 5 years. 5 months with that little wanker is going to ruin him.
I hope so.
Is Eddie Nketiah a villain?
What, for daring to leave us?
Yes,
Arsenal.
For being shit.
I wasn't sure he looked all that bothered today, I must say. It might be harsh because I know it's his last game.
Mm.
Well, we didn't know for certain before the match, but it was pretty strongly rumored.
We knew by half time
that this was his last game. So I was watching it thinking, come on, give it a bit more. If this is the last thing you do, whereas he's probably thinking, don't want to get injured.
It wasn't massively different from his last start. And it's only his second league start in his entire life as well.
The jumped up little bastard.
Well, exactly. How's he got this reputation as being some kind of hot shot.
I'm glad we've turned on him.
Striker.
Never liked
him. Who's going to save our season and the difference between promotion or not. He's never played a game of football in his life.
Oh dear. Well, that pretty much wraps it up for this one. Thanks to you for listening to this one, and thanks to Levi Solicitors for getting behind us as well. Get your 10% off your legal fees. levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. We will return. Where are we now? I'm still losing track of where we are.
I'm really not sure what day it is.
There's no Phil Hay podcast this week, which means it'll be Arsenal on Monday. Is that right? We'll do a match ball. That's going to be a late one, isn't it? 7:56.
But oddly, not as late as it feels now.
Yeah.
I think having a full day of a hangover and then having to watch, I think that it added to the game. It made me nice and serene, I think, during the day I did this, because I've, you know, you get that weird like nihilism of a bad hangover where you just think, ah, what does any of it matter?
It's rags, regret, anxiety, guilt, shame. That's the rags hangover. Yeah, when when West Brom scored in the first 2 minutes, I was like, yeah, that's going to happen. No anger. No, just, right, I'll just sit back and watch us try and get back into this now.
And get back into it, we did.
We did, and then we roll on to beating Arsenal and shoving it up Eddie Nketiah's tiny twisted bollocks.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you in a bit. Bye.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.